You. If you're with us for the first time, I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us for this Sunday morning. Some of you I know are probably in town for vacation. I hope that the weather gets better for you. Really, you're just not getting the best of a South County has to offer, and I apologize for that. I wish I had something to do with that. But I don't. I have no control over that. And also, you're catching us on the last Sunday of a series of messages that we started about 6 weeks ago called Why We, and we've been talking about why do we do certain things, why are there certain practices that are part of our culture as a church. We talked about why do we do baptism, why do we do communion, we talked about why do we worship, why do we do groups, why do we give, and then this week we're going to talk about why do we party, why do we celebrate, why do we have parties. Contrary to popular opinion, it's actually okay to have fun and still be a Christian. Like, those two things can go together in certain situations. And so maybe you have heard of people that are socialites. Anybody, you know what a socialite is, right? A socialite is the person who likes to be in the party, likes to be the center of attention, kind of enjoys the spotlight, likes hanging out with a lot of people, enjoys all the stuff that kind of goes along with that. So if you think about socialites, you could think, probably some names come to your mind. You could think of me as the anti-socialite. Right, so there are socialites and then there are anti-socialites, and I am the anti-socialite. And what that means is that I don't like a lot of people around me, especially a lot of people that I don't know. I'm not real comfortable at parties. I'm not a great, party guest. I'm just letting you know, just warning you. So if you come and you're like, why is Keith sitting in the corner? It's because he doesn't know anybody and he feels uncomfortable and awkward, and that's just where he goes and that's what he does. I like a small group of people, maybe group of people that I know. That's my idea of a great party, is a few people that I know really well, where I don't have to introduce myself and I don't have to do the whole small talk thing. I'm just being honest. I know this is a bad business for me to be in as a pastor, where and I don't know, God has a sense of humor, because I'm a total introvert. I'm not like, I don't even think there's little parts of me that are extrovert. I'm a total introvert. I just love being by myself. And part of my, kind of anti-socialite-ism is just because I'm an introvert. And part of it was because in the church that I grew up in, we were not really allowed to go to parties. Unless it was church parties. And church parties are not always all that fun, let's just be honest, right? Church parties are potlucks with, stuff that's stuck to the and you're not sure if you want to eat that or not. And so part of my church culture was that we were very, as we kind of grew up, we were very focused and separated from the rest of the world. Did anybody else grow up in a church like that? Like, so when you went to church, you heard about how bad things were out there in the world. And if you got to spend too much time with those people out there in the world, they were going to like suck you into all of their sin. And as you got to all of their sin, you are going to slide down the slippery slope to hell right along with them. Did anybody go to a church like that? Yeah. And so what happened was I kind of grew up with this fear of people that were outside of the church. I grew up with this fear of spending too much time with people that were not, kind of connected to Jesus and were not already following Jesus. And so I was not a whole lot of fun. I was not a barrel of laughs in high school. You can imagine kind of what my high school social life was. It was about this, right? So some of you had great high school social lives. I didn't have a great high school social life. I had no high school social life. My whole high school social life consisted of going to church as often as possible. So for those of you who think what that means, then you can imagine what that means. That was my social life. College, 2 years of college before I went to Bible school, no parties, nothing. I kind of sat in my dorm room and I waited for Jesus to come and get me. Right? Because that was the only way I was going to be rescued from the debauchery that was happening around me in college. And so I made, this is a remarkable feat. I managed to go through 4 years of high school, 2 years of liberal arts college, and I never went to a single party. Poor you, right? Yeah. And it wasn't even because I didn't get invited to the parties. Although that happened too. That's for another story, right? And so I didn't even go to my, I promise you, I didn't even go to my senior prom because I was so concerned that if I went to my senior prom, I was going to get sucked into all the stuff that was happening around me. So I didn't even go. I just kind of closeted myself away. I went, I actually worked on the night of my senior prom so I'd have an excuse to not go to senior prom so that I could tell my friends why I wasn't going. And here's what happened. I got out of liberal arts college. I went to Bible school. I kind of was in a Bible school that was very much about separation. It was kind of like, don't hang out with those people over there. And all of a sudden, I got out of Bible school and I started reading the Gospels, not through the lens of my church kind of upbringing and not through the lens of my Bible school teaching and training. And I started to just read the Gospels and I started to look at Jesus's life and I started to realize it didn't look a whole lot like Jesus's life. Because all of this time that I had spent separating myself from all of these bad people, and then I read the Gospels and I looked at the way that Jesus lived his life, and I decided my life didn't look anything like the Jesus that I said I was following. And so I was like, I'm following Jesus. I'm so holy, I didn't even go to my senior prom. And I'm looking at Jesus and I'm saying, Jesus might have showed up at my senior prom. Like, that's probably exactly where Jesus would have been, not hanging out in the corner with just the saints and just the people like him. Because if you start to read the Gospels, what you find is Jesus spends a whole lot of time with people who don't agree with him. Jesus spends a whole lot of time with people who are not yet connected to his movement, spends a whole lot of time with people who are not even on the surface interested in following him. And he spends a lot of time with these guys, and he spends a very little amount of time with these saints, these holy ones over here. And what I started to realize is that maybe my way of following Jesus was causing me to miss out on really following Jesus. That maybe the way that I was following Jesus was not nearly the way that it was supposed to be. And some of you grew up that way. Some of you didn't grow up in church, and so you don't have any of that cultural baggage. And you may have other baggage on the other side, right? Because you did the party scene. You went down that road. And so sometimes when you start to think about it, it makes you uncomfortable to think that you might go back into that scene. But here's the thing that I think it comes down to for me and maybe for you. Following Jesus, if you followed the Jesus of the Gospels, actually looks like a lot more fun than maybe you have thought it was. It actually looks like a little bit more exciting than maybe you have given it credit for, and maybe more fun than you've ever thought about it being before. And in fact, what happens when you start to follow the Jesus of the Gospels is that you see Jesus going out and making himself very comfortable in these party environments, making himself very comfortable in these environments where there's lots of sinners and maybe a few saints over here with him. He's totally comfortable, totally unfazed in the middle of those situations. He's not bothered by it at all. And in fact, maybe if your method of following Jesus is not leading you into contact with people that are hurting, that are broken, and that are maybe partying just a little bit, that maybe you're following the wrong Jesus. Maybe you're following a Jesus that you made up or that somebody else made up for you. So this week's message is going to be kind of a segue. It's going to be the end of the Why We series, and it's going to be the beginning of a series that we're going to start next week, which is it's a very subtle name. It's called Dinners with Sinners. And so if you are a sinner of any kind, I invite you back next week. So I expect you all to be back next week. Unless you're going to lie, and then you're a sinner. And so there we go. You can't get around it. This is going to be the segue because it's really the first time in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus has a party, finds himself in the middle of a party with a bunch of sinners surrounding him. And you'll find this theme, and we'll go through it in the book of Luke over the next few weeks after this. But we're going to start with this one today. Chapter 5, verse 27, it says this. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, or Levi held a big party at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples. You can kind of picture this scene a little bit, right? Jesus inside the party, all the religious leaders and people outside the party, because that's where they like to be. They don't want to be inside the party, they just want to be out here. And they complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Very subtle. And Jesus answered them very subtly, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Flat out. Just in case you're wondering. Right? So why do we party? Because this is what Jesus did, okay? So we're just going to answer that. If you get nothing else out of it, you can leave now, and that's fine. We party because Jesus went to parties, because Jesus showed up. And here's what happens in Jesus' MO, the way that Jesus kind of works through the world as he's operating. One of the things that you find is Jesus is almost always in motion. He's going from one place to the next place to the next place. And everything that he does, all of his teaching, all of his discipleship, all of his making of men and women as followers of him, none of it's about sitting in a chair listening to him. And most of it's actually as he's doing things, he's inviting these men and these women to come follow him and say, "Here's what I'm doing. I want you also to do what I'm doing. Here's what I'm teaching. I want you to be learning, not just by sitting and kind of absorbing a bunch of information, but I actually want you to do stuff with what I'm teaching you. I don't want you to sit on your butt and do nothing with it." Is that okay that I just said that? I'm sorry if it's not. "But I don't want you to just sit here and do nothing with it. I actually want something to come out of your life." And so as Jesus is walking through his community and walking through his world, he comes across this guy that we know as Levi. And Levi, the scriptures tell us, Levi was a tax collector. Levi was a sinner. Levi was a guy that if he was looking to kind of make a religious movement out of his followers, this is not the first guy that you go and ask to come follow you. If Jesus is looking for a movement that's going to have religious credibility, and if Jesus is looking for a movement that's going to kind of satisfy the Pharisees and the other religious leaders who are so concerned about their purity and their holiness, this is not the guy that you go after, because Levi is the person that nobody wants to hang out with. Because if you're a religious leader, here's how you look at Levi. Levi is part of the problem in the nation of Israel. Because he's unholy, he's unrighteous, he's greedy, he's a jerk, he's not the kind of guy that you like to hang out with. Everything about this guy is totally wrong, and he's part of the reason why God's not coming to rescue Israel is because of people like him. That's how the religious leaders look at him. And then if you're an ordinary, average Israelite, you look at Levi and you say, he's part of this Roman system that is oppressing us. I mean, he's part of the guys who come around and take more than they're supposed to take when they gather the taxes so that he can skim enough off the top so that when he passes it up the ladder, the next guy can skim more up off the top and the next guy can skim more off the top, and so that he can get rich on the backs of average middle class or poor lower class working people like me. That's that guy. I don't want to hang out with him either. That's who Levi is. And this is what the religious leaders see. This is what the average person in Israel sees. And Jesus looks at this guy and he says, here's somebody that I would love to have follow me. You think, are you sure, Jesus? Because do you know, like, that's not really going to help your reputation. That's not really going to help you get more followers. That's not really going to help you get other people to come after you. Because if you take that guy, you're alienating a whole bunch of other guys that you could take. And Jesus looks at him and he sees something in Levi that no one else sees. It's a pretty remarkable thing. And Jesus walks up to him at his tax booth where he's gathering taxes, skimming money off the top, while he's gathering taxes, so that he can make himself rich. And Jesus walks up to him and says, you, I want you to come and follow me. That's it. Now, Luke probably, I'm sure there's more to the story. I'm sure there's more to the conversation that goes on around this. But the way that Luke records it, it's very short. It's very simple. It's very concise. It's not a long sermon followed by a, you know, manipulative altar call to get him to give his life to Jesus and give his heart to Jesus. It's not any of those things. It's very short on theology and very long on obedience. All it is you, I want you to come follow me. That's all I want. Just come follow me. Just come walk with me where I'm going. Just come watch what I'm doing. Just come be with me. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear the things that I'm saying. Interact with the people that I'm interacting with. Here's all I want you to do. All I want is for you just to come follow me. He doesn't sit there, at least as far as Luke says it, and say, oh, you know, Levi, do you know how much of a sinner you are? Like, are you aware of the depths of your sin? Are you aware how many people hate you? I mean, are you aware what a mess you have made of your life? None of that stuff. Just you, Levi, outcast, person that nobody wants to hang out with, I would like you to come be part of my movement. I want you to come and follow me. And here's the thing. It's this interesting thing about the way that Jesus does this, because what you notice is Jesus actually has to speak to the sinner. It's an amazing concept, right? He actually has to engage in a little bit of a conversation with one of those people, right? Like one of those people who's not like us. In fact, what happens sometimes as Christians, we say, well, I'm gonna let my light shine in the world. And what we mean by that is I am so nervous about talking to anybody about how much I love Jesus that I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to walk through the world and my holiness, you know, my aura of holiness is just going to extend out beyond me, right? And people, as they walk by the aura of my holiness, are just going to say, oh my goodness, I need to have a life like that because it's so holy and so pure. And we don't feel like we need to say anything to them because they'll just know how holy and wonderful we are. But I'm just going to say something. If it didn't work for Jesus, it's probably not going to work for you. Because I think he was more holy than you are. I think he was more holy than I am. And so Jesus, even Jesus with the, do you want to talk about the aura of holiness extending around him? Even Jesus actually has to open up his mouth and begin to speak to one of these sinners. And when he opens up his mouth and begins to speak to one of these sinners, he says, here's what I want you to do. I'm not giving you a long altar call, no sermon. I just want you to come and follow me. Just come walk with me. Come see what this looks like when we follow God together. Come see what our life looks like. Come see what your life would look like if you would come and follow me. And here's the amazing thing. Levi gets up and follows him. I mean, he leaves behind his tax booth. He leaves behind his ability to make lots and lots of money at the expense of other people. And he gets up and he walks with Jesus. It's an amazing concept, isn't it? Just walks with Jesus. Just goes where Jesus is going, sees what Jesus is seeing, begins to do what Jesus is doing. And then Levi does this unexpected thing. He does a thing that church people don't do. Levi decides, you know what? I'm so excited about what's happening in my life. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw a party. I'm going to throw a party. I'm going to celebrate what's happening in my life because something is changing in me. And here's what happens when Levi throws his party. Levi does not have time to clean up his Facebook friends list, okay? He doesn't have time, right, to get rid of all of the bad people that are on the list. He doesn't have time to uninvite all of his old friends who he used to be hanging out with. So what he does is he just throws a party, and all he does is invite everybody that he can think of. And the only people that are willing to go to a party that Levi's throwing are people like him, tax collectors and sinners who are also on the outskirts, who are also kind of pushed to the side and pushed to the margins of people's lives. And Levi throws the party and he invites all of his old friends and then he invites all of his new friends, and he doesn't seem to have any problem with it at all. He doesn't say, oh no, Jesus shows up at the party, he's going to see this people over here. If Jesus sees these people over here, he's not going to want me to follow him anymore. So let's leave these guys off the guest list and let's just invite Jesus and the holy people. together. And we'll just have a Jesus and the holy people party, right? No, that's not what he does. He throws this party. And if you think about the guest list for Levi's party, here's what you think. You've got tax collectors, you've got sinners, you've got people that everybody looks at and says, I don't really want to hang out with them. And then you've got Jesus and a couple of his disciples. And in fact, if you really think about it a little bit further, what you've got is Jesus and a couple of his fishermen disciples who probably got taxed by Levi. I don't know if you remember Peter, but he seemed to have this mouth problem and speaking out problem. I'm just not sure what Levi's thinking with inviting all of these guys together in the place. And here in the middle of the party, not at the edges, not in the corner, not hanging out with his disciples, not hanging out with the holy and the religious people, here's Jesus right in the middle of the party. And Jesus is not bothered by it at all. In fact, he seems to think that's where he belongs. Levi throws a party, and here's what it is. It's just a party. It's not a church service masking as a party. It's not a bait and switch like, oh, here's the party. Come have all the food, come have all the drinks, come hang out here at the party with all the old Facebook friends and all the old buddies. Let's just hang out. And then, oh yeah, by the way, sit down in rows because Jesus is going to preach to you. Right? It's not a bait and switch like, okay, you guys show up for the food and for all the stuff, but then sit there and listen quietly while we preach. Just for 45 minutes or so. It won't take long. Don't worry about it. It's not. Jesus, here's the thing. Jesus has plenty of opportunities to sit people down and to teach them. He has plenty of opportunities where he takes the time to sit crowds of people and small groups of people down, and he actually instructs them and he actually teaches them. But this is not one of those occasions. All this is a party. There's no religious purpose for it at all. In fact, all of the religious people say, you shouldn't be doing that. That's a dumb idea. Like, do you know what's going to happen if you hang out with all of those sinners? I mean, that's what the religious leaders are saying to Jesus' disciples. Do you know what you're saying when Jesus goes in and sits down and eats dinner with all of those people? You're actually telling them that you want to be in relationship with them. I mean, he's actually telling those people that he likes them, that he would actually want to hang out with them. And there's no way on earth he could possibly mean that, because do you know who they are? I mean, have you seen them? Have you seen the choices that they make? Have you seen the way that they live their life? Do you know who they are? Do you understand what you're doing, Jesus and disciples? You can't do this. And if you want religious credibility and you want people to think you're spiritual and you want people to think you're holy, you can't hang out there with them. What Jesus does is he makes this really powerful spiritual statement, but it's wrapped up inside of a social statement. Because in Jesus' day, just like in our day, you sat down and ate dinner and ate meals with people that you wanted to be in relationship with. You sat down and you ate a meal and you shared food with the people that you said, I would like to spend time with you, or at least I'm spending time with you already, or I'm interested in spending time with you a little bit more. That's who you sit down and eat dinner with, right? Does that make sense? You don't invite people, can we just agree on this? You don't invite people to your house for dinner that you don't want to hang out with, right? Do we agree on that? I mean, maybe you do sometimes, right? Like maybe tomorrow you're inviting people to your, no, we won't go there. We'll just leave that one alone. What Jesus is saying when he sits down to dinner with these people is, I want to be in relationship with you. That's amazing. I want to be in relationship with tax collectors and with sinners. I don't want to isolate myself from them. I don't want to spend time over here away from them. I actually want to sit down and eat a meal with them. And the disciples, the religious leaders on the outside are saying, don't you understand what kind of message you're sending? Don't you understand that when you sit down with them, that they're going to think that you want to be with them? And Jesus is saying, yes, yes, Exactly. They will understand that I want to be in relationship with them. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm in the middle of the party and I'm not on the outside of the party looking in and saying, why are we doing that? Why are we hanging out with those people? We shouldn't be hanging out with those people. Blah, 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 blah. You know, all that stuff. Why? Right. I just want to be in here with them because these are the people that God has asked me to reach. These are the people that God has sent me to. And even though everyone else around him says, those aren't the right people for your movement, Jesus. Those aren't the right people to follow you, Jesus. You got to get some better followers than that. Jesus says, that's not why I came. Right? I didn't come so that I could look around at the world and find the people whose lives seem to be in perfect order and then call them to come and follow me. He says, if you do that, you're like the doctor who goes and finds the people who are already well and says, hey, I'm going to heal you. Look, you're healed. It's amazing. Jesus says, that's not why I came. I came because there are sick people in the world. There are people who are broken in their sin. And there are people whose lives are messed up because they're partying and because they're questioning and because they're doubting and because they're doing all kinds of stuff that maybe they even know they shouldn't be doing. And I showed up because God, my Father, sent me to rescue them and bring them back into relationship with himself. That's why I'm here. I didn't show up so that I could call the right righteous to come and follow me. I showed up because God wanted me to call sinners to repentance and to come and follow me. And what matters to Jesus is not that we separate ourselves from everybody who might contaminate us. Because if you want to follow the Jesus of the Gospels, what you find is Jesus is at the center of the party and he's incredibly comfortable there. With all of the sinners, with all of the tax collectors, with all those people that everybody else says we don't want to hang out with. He says, I want to have a party. Levi throws the party. Jesus shows up. And he doesn't turn it into a church service, doesn't turn it into anything other than what it was, a party where Jesus showed up. And there are plenty of times, as I said before, there's plenty of times where Jesus is teaching other people. And there are times for teaching, we're doing one of them this morning. And then there are other times when it's just time to celebrate. It's just time to party. It's just time to be in relationship with people, some of whom are like us and some of whom are not very much like us. And what happens is that when we celebrate that way, here's what we believe. We believe that Jesus actually shows up at parties like that. That's what I believe. I believe Jesus shows up when you are hanging out with people that are sinners and saints. See, I believe Jesus shows up here when we worship. Right? We talked about that just a few weeks ago. I believe that Jesus' presence is very real in this place when we sing and when we praise and when we listen to the scriptures. I believe that Jesus is present with us here. But I also believe that when you leave and you go home and you invite that neighbor or that friend or that person from work or that person in your family and you invite them over and you don't have any religious agenda, you're not there to preach to them, you're not there to, you know, to give them an altar call and the salvation message, but you're just there to be present with them and to allow Jesus to show up in that place. Guess what? I think Jesus shows up in that place with you. I think when Jesus shows up, you never know what happens. We agree with that? I mean, when Jesus shows up in the center of that circle, you have no idea what may happen in that place. You have no idea whose life is going to be impacted. You have no idea whose life is going to be affected. You have no idea what person in that room, in that party, in that situation is going to say, you know what? There's something going on here. When I hear you talk about Jesus, when I hear you talk about your life following Jesus, there's something about that I'm drawn to. Drawn to that. Because when Jesus is present, you never know what can happen. Here's what I believe. I believe Jesus took his mission to rescue and redeem lost people incredibly seriously. In fact, you know, I mean, again, I grew up in that context where I thought that, you know, I was taking the mission of Jesus incredibly seriously. And I thought, you know, this is the most serious thing that I... So it's got to be serious. But when you look at Jesus, he took his mission incredibly seriously, never took it for granted for one moment of his life. And yet he went about his mission with a kind of joy and the kind of enthusiasm that made him incredibly comfortable even in the middle of a party surrounded by a bunch of sinners. And I wonder sometimes if some of us just feel like we're following Jesus and we're taking this thing so seriously that when we get into the middle situation where there's a bunch of sinners around us, we say, "Oh, these people, all these sinners, oh my goodness, I need to leave." I wonder, seriously, I wonder, are we taking it so seriously, or are we just taking ourselves too seriously? Like, can we take the mission of Jesus to rescue and redeem lost people very seriously, but can we go about it with the kind of joy and the kind of enthusiasm that would make us comfortable at the center of a party with a bunch of people who are like us and a bunch of people who might not be so much like us? I mean, if we're really going to seriously follow Jesus, can we live our lives with those two things in tension inside of us? That we are incredibly serious about the mission of Jesus. We believe that Jesus wants to bring men and women back into relationship with himself. I am 100% passionate and committed to that. But can we also do that without being a stick in the mud? Can we do that and not be the people that nobody wants to hang out with? Right? Because we don't like to hang out with anybody else. Do you think we can pull those two things together? See, I think we could. I think we could. I think we could follow Jesus that way. In fact, part of what we do here at New Life is every year we throw a party for our community. Every year, for the last, this would be the fifth year, we just throw a party. And here's what I'm going to say about this, right? This party is a party. It is not church. Is that okay? It's not church. It's not, we do church every single Sunday, right? Doors are open every single Sunday. One Saturday a year, we're just throwing a party. And here's what's not going to happen. I am not going to stand up and preach at any point on that day. And some of you are really glad for that. Like, finally, dude's going to shut up. I'm not going to stand up and preach. We are not baiting and switching our community and saying, "Hey, we're going to throw this awesome party and then we're going to sit you down in rows for 45 minutes so our pastor can talk to you about Jesus." Not going to happen. We are going to throw a party, the kind of party that I think Jesus would be incredibly comfortable in the middle of. And here's what I recognize, right? This is the fifth year that we've done it. Every year, the way the party happens is that every single person gets involved. Every single person that's part of our community on a regular basis, every single person says, "I can pitch in and I can help make that happen. I can help us have a party that Jesus would be comfortable at with all kinds of people, people who are like us, and people that are not very much like us, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our workmates, with the people that we go to school with our family members. We are just going to throw a party and we're going to invite people to come in and be present with us." And here's what I think. I think Jesus shows up at places like that. I think Jesus wants to be there. And so two things that I'm going to ask you to do this morning. One is on the back table where you came in this morning, on your way out, there are some postcards that are invitations for you to take and for you to use for our block party. It's June 22nd, Saturday from 11 to 3, 4 hours of a lot of fun, and just an incredible day for families and for everybody who wants to come in to celebrate with us. I would love for you to take a card, and I'd love for you to hand it out to someone, or if you want to take, there's opportunity for you to put it in the mail. You can write it out like a postcard, and you can send it to a friend, to a neighbor, and invite them to come with you. I would love for you to help us, because here's the thing. At some point, we've got to talk about it. We can't just say, oh, it's happening. Look, amazing. We got to communicate it. So I would love for you to take those cards and take... Here's what I'm going to say this, and I mean this. Take as many as you will use. Do not take 50 if you're only passing out two. Can we agree with that? Right? Because there's other people that could use those 48 other cards. So if you've got two families in your mind that you would love to invite to that event, take two. They'll be there next week. If you think of someone else, you can come back and get more. It's amazing how that works, right? But please don't take 50 if you're just going to give out two. And here's the other thing that you can do. On the back tables, I think over there by the food, strategically located, because everybody's going for the food after service. On the back, there are some places, some opportunities for you to volunteer to sign.